Hebrews chapter 5. Just moving along there. Hebrews chapter 5. And we're in a wonderful section of Scripture here that has to do with our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we had songs this morning that had to do with the Holy of Holies. That is speaking of the throne room of God, where God Himself dwells, where His presence is. And as we looked at last time, that we, are, as God's people, are commanded and commissioned to hold fast the confession of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we are to come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, and that God has made provision for us as His people. And there is His wisdom, there is His counsel, there is His guidance, there is His instruction, there is His word, and by prayer we can go to the throne room and obtain that mercy and find that grace to help in time of need. So this morning we want to look at the prerequisites and duties of the priest. The priest has been introduced there in chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. And this great high priest, he understands, he sympathizes with our weaknesses because he came, Jesus Christ, and took upon himself human flesh and dwelt among us. And he hungered and he went thirsty and he suffered with us. And so he is qualified to be our great high priest. He's qualified to be there in the throne room of our Heavenly Father and represent us. And he understands. He understands those things which we suffer. And therefore, we're to come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain that mercy and find grace. It's difficult living here. It's difficult maintaining righteous living and walking in a way, in a manner that's pleasing to God. And our culture, the world system, is against godliness, is in rebellion against God. Angelic beings are in rebellion. Our flesh is in rebellion against God and can't be fixed. And yet, God in His mercies has wrought salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. And this mediator, this high priest, is able to speak and work and act upon our behalf. And so these things we enjoy. And so there's some things that we want to look at in the Old Testament in regard to the prerequisites and duties of the priest. And so let's read from chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. And we'll look at some of these prerequisites and duties. And we'll begin this new section. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God, in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weaknesses. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins, as for the people, so also for himself. And no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called of God, even as Aaron was. And so let's stop there this time around. But we're last we introduced a new section about the priesthood of Christ. And what we want to consider and look at here is the as we go through the book of Hebrews, there are these pillars of Judaism. Remember that this book is written to the Hebrews. And basically, as this teacher, this writer, is corresponding with the Hebrew Christians there that are probably in Judea, around Jerusalem, around in the area of Judea, there before 70 AD, before the destruction of the temple. And these times and events are coming upon them. They're being persecuted. What has happened in 1 Peter has already taken place. They've been dispersed, many of them, into present-day Turkey. There the churches of Ephesus and the areas of Galatia and Cappadocia and all of these places where believers were scattered. 1 Peter addresses those that were dispersed because of persecutions, because of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving Jesus as the Messiah. And so there are four pillars here that this one is addressing, that is teaching that Jesus is more excellent, that His covenant, that His work is more excellent than these pillars of Judaism. The first pillar, we read in those first verses that in these last days, God, who has spoken through us through prophets in many and various ways, has spoken to us through His Son. So there's a more excellent messenger than the prophets in Jesus Christ. There's a more excellent name than the angels. Okay? A more excellent name, and we covered that in chapters 1 and 2. There's more glory than Moses as the administrator of the old covenant. Jesus, who is the administrator of the new covenant, has more glory than Moses. Moses was a servant in the house, but Jesus is described as being the builder of the house. And remember, we talked about God's house as being God's kingdom, His what He is building, His kingdom on earth. And that structure, that plan, that purpose of God, the decree plan of God through which He, through covenant, said that I will give you this land and there will be this kingdom and you will have a seed and He will reign as king on the throne of David. This plan of God is unfolding, and Jesus is given more glory as the Son, as the builder of that house, than Moses. And then fourthly, in our section that we started last week, has to do with, or week before last actually, with a more excellent ministry than the high priest. Jesus was, as Messiah, was given because of His sacrifice, the ministry of high priest. He intercedes for us as God's people. And so these four pillars are addressed by the new covenant, by the work of Christ on our behalf. And they're really essential for us. And there's probably a lot of things that you do not understand about the Old Testament sacrifices and things that took place back there. And maybe you've never really pulled some of the things, the pictures together. But we're going to explore that a little bit through the writer here in the book of Hebrews. And we're going to explore some things that God's Word has to teach us about the plan and the purpose, the model, the picture that these Old Testament priests had in regard to the work that Jesus Christ the Messiah was going to do on your and my behalf. And so we'll look then at the prerequisites and duties of the priests and consider this week some of those things. As we come into this section, those last three verses or four verses that we finished in chapter 4 address the fact that Christ has a better position than the high priest. Now, why would that be? Chapter 1, verse 4 says what? Or verse 3 says that after He had made purification for sins, He was seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Right, so He resurrected from the grave. He ascended through the three heavens. It says last week He passed. We have a high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Okay, this high priest passed through the first heaven, and we believe that to be the atmosphere around the earth, the sky as we know it. He passed through the space, and those of you that have been looking at those beautiful pictures that the Hubble telescopes and some of the photos that have been taken of the heavenlies, it's massive, immense, beyond description. and that second heaven, and then the third heaven would be the place of our Heavenly Father's dwelling, God Himself, the place where He dwells. And Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, has ascended and is seated at His right hand, there at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Not like the High Priest that enter into the Holy of Holies, as we just sang about, and as we look at the tabernacle and the temple in the Old Testament, they pass through the Holy of Holies, and there they standing minister for our sins, on behalf of the sins of the people and the sins of their own sins as high priest. And so they stood there in the Holy of Holies in the presence of Shekinah glory, in the very presence of God. And it was a tremendous ministry that these high priests of Israel had. But it's nothing compared to Christ, who is not standing before the Shekinah glory, but is in fact Himself the Shekinah glory, seated at the right hand of the Father on high, seated, not standing, because His work has been completed. He made purification for our sins. This Lord Jesus has a better position because He's seated in heaven. And not the representation of that on earth through the Ark of the Covenant, but in the very third heaven He has passed through, seated there in the Father's presence to intercede, to mediate for you. That means that today, though you walked in this place and though you went through a week in a sinful world, in a fallen world, in a world that is animosity with God, our Heavenly Father, because we have a priest who intercedes for us, He is there speaking on your behalf. And the Scripture says if we confess our sins, God is faithful. Why is He faithful? Because Jesus paid the full price, the penalty for your sin. And our Heavenly Father is faithful to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The Scripture tells us that not only is God faithful, but He's just to do so because Jesus died on your behalf, and He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So we can sit here, we can worship here, we can fellowship together here today as God's people because the work of Jesus Christ, because of what He did on our behalf. So we have a great high priest who has passed into the heavenlies. And secondly, not only does he have a better position, but here in this section, we'll look at a better priestly order. Because Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek, and we'll learn more about that later. But just know that the author here is building this picture that was given in the Old Testament. God gave these specific instructions to Moses for our learning, that we might know things about God, that we might know things about our relationship with Him, about His provision for us, about the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice that was required by the Lamb of God for the forgiveness of our sins, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of our sin is death. But the gift of God through Jesus Christ is eternal life. We have been given life when we deserve death. We have been delivered from that penalty which stood over us. And the wrath of God for our sin has been fully propitiated in Jesus Christ. He took that wrath for you. Therefore, it is gone. It is done with. And simply by an acknowledgement of the truth of God's Word on your part, as you and bear in mind that that this aspect of ministry through the sacrifice of Christ, through the Holy of Holies, bringing the blood into the Holy of Holies, this aspect of living is for the day-to-day life of the Christian life. We're not talking about the one-time sacrifice that ushered you into the family of God. We're talking about aspects of what it means to live daily with Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? God has given to you all that is needed to live after the manner, after the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has supplied grace That's why we come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That which is in the storehouses, the riches of God's glory and provision, all things that pertain to life and godliness are there at the throne, ready to be received by faith. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus have been provided to you. And so we're rich. We're rich in the grace of God, lavished His grace upon us. And so if you're struggling with sin, there's provision for you. God has removed the penalty of it. He has, through the blood of Christ, removed the guilt of that sin. He has provided the grace that removes the power of that sin over your life. You're free people, free in Jesus Christ. So we have a better position that our priest is there in the third heaven with the Heavenly Father. We have a better priestly order than the Levitical priestly order that was modeled in the Old Testament, an order that is after the order of Melchizedek. And as we look at verse 1 here, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices." Notice here in verse 5, as you look in your Bibles there and take your notes out, we want to just take a good look at this. It says 4. Chapter 5 begins with 4. Now, what does that tell us, Bible students? It connects, right? That 4 connects to what went before. So those verses that we just talked about, that we have this great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Okay, so what is our confession? Jesus Christ is Lord. He has accomplished, as the Lamb of God, the forgiveness of our sin. He has saved us from the destruction that was ours, from the penalty of our sin, which meant removal from the presence of a holy God, removal from heaven, removal from the place of His dwelling. And now we're able, through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and through this confession, we have put our trust in the provision that He made for our sin. And therefore, we have a new position in Jesus Christ. In fact, the Scripture says we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're there with God. We no longer belong here. We're simply passing through as pilgrims, but we belong with God. So 4 connects to the fact that we have this confession and that we're coming boldly before the throne of grace. 4, the reason is because every high priest is taken from among men and is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God. And let's break it down. What does it mean? The high priest is ordained. Okay? He's been appointed by God for God's purposes. He's been appointed by God, according to this passage, to represent men before God in related to things pertaining to God. So Jesus Christ is your connection. There is no other connection. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And no man comes to the Father except through Him. There's not any other way. You can't get there through Islam. You can't get there through other religions. You can't even get there through Judaism. You can only get there through the provision that Christ has been made through Jesus Christ, through the plan of God. It's His building. It's His plan. It's His purpose. And it's His calling. And so He called in the councils before the foundation of the earth. God, the Heavenly Father, counseled with the second person of the Trinity, the Son, and they in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, devising a plan whereby the second person of the Trinity would take upon Himself flesh and come and dwell among men. And that in that flesh, after the offspring of David, being of the seed of David, that He would, in His humanity, take upon the duties of a high priest. Take upon the responsibilities of being the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for mankind. And after he had made purification for our sins, he is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The high priest is ordained. So every high priest is taken from among men and is appointed. He's ordained. And appointed means to set one over a thing or in charge of something. It means to appoint one to administer an office. So just like Moses was the administrator of the old covenant there at Mount Sinai and all of that, Jesus has been appointed over the office of high priest and the relationship of Aaron and the priestly duties that he had. Christ has been appointed after a new order in a new way to provide and make provision for our sinfulness. A high priest is ordained to represent men to God. Now, there are two prerequisites in regard to the responsibilities of the high priest. One is that he had to be human. Okay? So when Christ took upon himself flesh, it was necessary. The high priest had to be human. Notice it says, for every high priest taken from among men. Now, Aaron and the high priest that followed after him and that family that was appointed, Aaron represented Israel. And so when God set up the sacrificial system, remember, we go back to Exodus and God brings the nation out. And at Mount Sinai, he makes a covenant with Israel. And in that covenant, he makes provisions as they build the tabernacle for God in his presence to dwell with a group of people. It's phenomenal. Nothing like this has happened on earth before. And in that plan, there's a whole book called Leviticus that is devoted to the sacrifices that were made, the relationship of the priest and the high priest, and the work that they did in the tabernacle and later in the temple, in which God, as a holy God, dwelt with sinful people. And there were requirements, there were things that were laid out in regard to this relationship between a sinful people and a holy God. And this priestly relationship was given, the responsibility was given to one particular tribe, the Levitical tribe, and one family in that tribe, Aaron's family. And remember, Aaron and Moses were brothers, okay, and there Miriam was their sister. Aaron was given, and his offspring was given the responsibility of the priesthood. And so as we look through the nation of Israel, this priesthood was carried on through his family up until through the history of Israel. And so this priest had to be human. Jesus Christ, what tribe was Christ?
Judah,
right. So he was of the tribe of David, according to the Davidic covenant, not of the tribe of Levi, right? And all these high priests were of the tribe of, were of the offspring of Aaron, the tribe of Levi. And so there will be introduced a order after Melchizedek, which Christ is representative of. But the point here being that a prerequisite for becoming a priest was that he had to be human to make that connection between man and God. Secondly, he had to be ordained to mediate between men and God. Notice it says, for every high priest is taken from among men, is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God. So there's this connection between God and man that the high priest had responsibility for. And that connection had to do with the sacrifice that was made for sin, the gifts that were given in relationship and in fellowship with God. And so we're talking about daily life, daily living, right? In the Christian life or in the believer's life in the Old Testament, now with Christ in the Christian life. This daily living has to do with this one who connects. According to Romans, Christ is the one who intercedes. He's ever there to intercede for you as a believer, make intercession for your sin, and to maintain that fellowship. And our fellowship is maintained by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ cleanses us from unrighteousness, and we have fellowship one with another. And that, as that blood of Christ cleanses us from guilt and from the penalty of sin, then we live and walk in fellowship with God. And this was depicted in the Old Testament, where the priest was ordained to represent God before men. Now, do you remember the process back there? These Bible students are through the Bible this year. The process, do you remember when they came out of Israel, came out of Egypt, okay, God was going to take the firstborn. Do you remember why? Why was God going to take the firstborn of all of Israel? What was the connection there? Somebody?
First fruits,
yeah, but there was another connection, another major connection. Sorry? The Passover, yes. Very good. That's right, the Passover, because at the Passover, who died? Firstborn of the Egyptians, right? And who were dedicated to God? The firstborn of the Israelites. They're God's. God says, those are mine. Okay, so these firstborn children, firstborn of the cattle, firstborn of the sheep, firstborn, they were dedicated to God. They were given to God. And so they were going along here, and certain events took place. There was sin on Israel's part at Mount Sinai. And God says, I'm going to take the tribe of Levi in the place of your firstborn. They will be ministers and priests before me forever. So the tribe of Levi kind of replaced those firstborn of Israel. Okay, right? Okay. And then out of that tribe of Levi, Aaron and his sons were taken to be the priests. They're the ones that make the sacrifices and offer gifts before God. So, that's kind of the history of these events. But he was ordained to be in this place. God appointed him is the point, right? God appointed Aaron. God appointed Aaron's family. They were given this responsibility. And what happened? Let's go back again through the Bible students. Tell me some event that takes place where the importance of being appointed to the priesthood was made very, very clear. Okay? Can someone give a illustration of that, Terry?
Well, I'm going to give it my best shot here. I think that someone, and remembering names, someone apparently tried to apply a priestly issue, but they were not a priest, and they were struck dead.
Okay. Yeah, that happens a couple of times. Saul. Saul's an example.
Is that what you were after, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very good. Saul, some others. What about Korah? You remember Korah? Okay. Exodus 28:1 says, "Then bring near to yourselves Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the sons of Israel to minister as priests to me. Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons." So they were set apart. They were appointed by God. Okay. But then later on in Numbers, we read about this guy Korah and his rebellion. And Korah and a couple of other guys, Dathan and Abiram, rebelled against Moses. And the scripture says that in Moses, and this is, for those of you taking notes, it's Numbers chapter 16, beginning in verse 8 there. "Then Moses said to Korah, 'Hear now, you sons of Levi.'" This is after the rebellion. And they're challenging Moses' position and Aaron's position. And it says, "Is it not enough for you that the God of Israel..." Now, Korah was of the tribe of Levi, so he had position. But he says, "Is it not enough for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and stand before the congregation to minister to them?" Do you remember that there were three sons of Levi the Gershomites and the Kohathites and the, what's the other one?
Merarites.
Okay, there you go. You have these three sons, and each of these families, these tribes or clans, had certain responsibilities. One, in the tabernacle, they had responsibility to take the goat skin tents, and they folded them and moved them. And the other, the Merarites, had the structure. They took the boards apart from the tabernacle. And the Kohathites had the vessels. They cared for and moved the vessels through the wilderness. And each one of them had these responsibilities. And then, so they had position. They had a special place with God. And that's what Moses is contending with him about. He's saying, you have the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and stand before the congregation to minister to them, and that he has brought you near Korah and all your brothers, sons of Levi, with you. Are you seeking for the priesthood also? So what are they doing? They were seeking for Aaron's position. Wasn't good enough that we had a position to... And were cared for in regard to providing for the moving of the tabernacle and that responsibility of being in the presence of God. They wanted Aaron's position. Okay, so things did not go well for Korah. You may remember that the earth swallowed him up. Things didn't go well with Saul. Remember, Saul basically, in what he did was he offered... As the Philistines were coming and he didn't wait for Samuel, he offered a burnt offering. And Saul's words were, so I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. Okay, and because Samuel didn't show up on time or according to his timing, he intruded into the office of the priesthood, right? And he put himself as king in the office of priesthood. He was not appointed there. But he placed himself there, and as a result, at that point, he lost his dynasty. God says, your sons, your dynasty's gone. It's all over for you. Later on, he loses his anointed kingship as well. And David replaced him as a man after God's own heart. We find another instance in the Old Testament where Uzziah, the great king, had accomplished many wonderful things. He was an amazing... If you read the story of Uzziah in 2 Chronicles, this king conquered everybody. It says that he built walls and he built machines and they had victory. But then it says, but when his heart was proud, that he entered into the temple and he was going to take the altar, he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now, do you remember when you go into the temple, there's the showbread on the right, there's the candlesticks on the left, and right in front and center is the altar of incense. And that altar of incense, the priest would put the incense on it, and it were prayers offered up to God. Well, Uzziah pushed into the temple, and he was going to offer this incense. And what happened? Leper. He became a leper for the rest of his life. Okay, he was not appointed. So God made it very clear in the Old Testament that one who functioned as a high priest had to be appointed. And he was from among men, but he must be appointed by God. There's no self-appointment in this responsibility. Okay? Let's go on to the duties here, because in the last of verse 1 it says, in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices. So he had to be human. He had to mediate. He had to be ordained to mediate between men and God. Those are prerequisites. But here's some duties. It was in order that he was to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. So he was from among men. He was appointed by God to mediate. And then the purpose for that, for his duties, was to offer gifts and sacrifices. Now here's the scoop on gifts and sacrifices. First of all, there's a couple of ideas. It's not really clear exactly what gifts and the difference between gifts and sacrifices is, okay? But there's a delineation here as far as the priestly responsibility, so we can kind of speculate as to what might be referred to in, by way of differences in gifts and sacrifices. So for some of you that have been reading through the Bible and you're familiar with the book of Leviticus and the sacrifices that are there, you'll be familiar with some of these terms. But for others of you, it's not hard, okay? So I'm going to break it down for you. There are basically five types of sacrifices, in the book of Leviticus, right? Okay? And you can jot these down. I didn't put them in your notes for you, but you can jot them down if you'd like. There's the burnt offering, the meal offering, and the peace offering. And then there's the sin offering and the trespass offering. Okay, if we split those up into kind of categories, the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, those three are called sweet savor offerings. They're also sometimes called fellowship offerings. Okay, so it's not hard. You got five separated into three that are fellowship offerings or what are called sweet savor offerings. Okay, these were for fellowship. They were gifts. They were things that you brought to express your appreciation to God, to fellowship with God in God's provision in Israel as He gave them the land and gave them the produce of the land. They would bring the provision in, and the priests were cared for. All the Levitical priests that took care of the worship of the nation. The meal offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offerings were divvied up and given to the Levitical priest. And so this was a fellowship meal. It's a sharing meal. It's where the priest and the people and God fellowship together in the wonderful relationship that Israel was given. The wonderful covenant that God gave to Israel. Okay, and then sacrifices, he offered gifts and sacrifices. Sacrifices then would be the sin and the trespass. It would be what are called the non-sweet savor offerings. Okay, these non-sweet savor offerings were offered because of sin. Okay, and there's all those sins are listed and laid out as you go through the book of Leviticus. You know, you can look at those things that had to do with how people lived together. So God made provision through His law so that if you stole a man's cow, the scripture, there was a prescription, and part of it involved sacrifice in the temple, and then you had to restore not only the cow, but you fourfold. You brought you had to provide four other cows for stealing the one cow. And so there was a payment. And an ongoing fellowship and relationship between God's people because God's laws were just and He dealt righteously with people. And when things were working right in Israel, it was great. They had an incredible, wonderful nation of people that were living together properly, and the society was working in a God-honoring and righteous way. And so these sacrifices were to take care of things that were an obligation. Okay, the gifts were voluntary. The sacrifices were obligatory. Okay, another possibility. That's one possibility. The five different types of sacrifices. Another possibility would be that there were certain grain and wine offerings that were voluntary. They were non-bloody. So it's perhaps those are gifts. I think most likely the other view is more likely. But one possibility is that the gifts represents the grain and the wine offering that was offered. It was voluntary and non-bloody. The sacrifices were the bloody and obligatory offerings. All that had to do, that would include the burnt offering then with with the sacrifices there, with that term. So anyway, then we go to verse 2, and I'm running out of time here. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weaknesses. Now there's two purposes or two duties that are given here. One is that he offers gifts and sacrifices. The second is that he sympathizes with the ignorant and deceived. Okay, if you get this picture, basically you've got, and I wish that I had a, Lori did some great illustrations, great pictures for us, but we needed a balance scale, and the scale of justice. And that scale would be these two duties that the priests had. One had to do with justice. Sacrifices had to do with maintaining and dealing with the penalty, the harshness of sin. But the sympathy and mercy had to do with the balance of this relationship with God and His people. And so the high priest had to sympathize with the ignorant and the deceived. You know, that's us, by the way. The ignorant and deceived. And God's provision through the high priest was to deal gently in a kind and sympathetic and compassionate way with His people. And so the high priest had that duty. He had to deal with the ugliness of sin every day. But part of his responsibility was to present compassion, the loving kindness of God, and to be that representative of God's loving kindness. There's a way. There's a provision that God has made for you. And Christ exemplified this, didn't he? If we think about the adulterous woman, what did Christ do with the adulterous woman?
Forgave her.
Go and sin no more. That's a merciful and compassionate high priest, meeting with mercy and gentleness those that are ensnared in sin, and times other times the prostitute that washed his feet, and where he cast out demons and healed the sick and healed those that were lame, and he met with mercy. And so we have this beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, our merciful Savior, who ministers to His people those things which are needful and necessary. I sure wanted to get to verses 3 and 4, but since we're past 12 o'clock already, we'll need to stop here and we'll just pick up next time. But be thinking about this, and set your meditation upon some of these things, because our Christian life is, and the depth of your walk with the Lord will be directly affected by your understanding of these truths from Scripture. If you understand that God has made provision through that high priest to represent you, and that you can come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain that mercy and find grace to help in time of need, you can walk the Christian life. If you understand this, and there's also other things that we look at as well when we consider the, for instance, Roman Catholicism. You're going to find here the answers to why we don't need a high priest. You know, we don't need a pope because our pope, our high priest, is Jesus Christ. And the Scripture says, come boldly before the throne of grace. And that's the beauty of what Christ has done for us. Whereas that high priest entered into the Holy of Holies once a year, you have the privilege by prayer to come boldly before the throne of God by faith, and to make appeal to God through Jesus Christ. to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And there's nothing that we need to know and understand more than that in living the Christian life. So as we look at these concepts and as we lay hold of this beautiful truth as it unfolds in the teaching about the new covenant and Christ's priesthood under the new covenant, administration of that new covenant, it will make you free as a believer. If you simply lay hold of this truth in God's Word, you can know freedom in God's grace like you've never experienced it before. If you haven't laid hold of this in earlier times, this will transform your life and your relationship with God and your relationship with others, because it's intended as a day-by-day fellowship, not only with God, but with other people. And that can occur under the new covenant, so that we as God's people are demonstrating in a very real way the kingdom of God, a taste of it here on earth. When Christ comes and establishes that kingdom, it'll be a whole new thing. But right now, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory, His presence in you, as you fellowship with one another and with God through the provision that Christ has made and He maintains as our great high priest. Father, thank You for Your provision. Lord, help us to walk with You upright as holy people, that we are just known as those that are one with You and our Heavenly Father and with Jesus. For as Jesus was one with You, Heavenly Father, He prayed that we would be unified, one with You, that the world might know that You sent Your Son. And Jesus commanded us, He gave us a new commandment that we're to love one another. And by this shall all men know that we're Your disciples. And Lord, we can have fellowship in this way because of the provisions that are made and spoke about, addressed here in Hebrews. Grant it to us, Lord. Grant us a full understanding and comprehension of Your Word and Your will and Your ways for our lives, that we might glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray and ask in His name. Amen.